if God is a mystery, we can't completely understand Him. No, we can understand a little bit about Him from Scripture, from our experiences, from prayer, but not completely. So.
Hi there, I'm Jude, and this is Sundays for Seekers, a podcast designed for those of us who have questions about our faith.
That's right, and I'm Father Jay, and I'm here with Jude so we can discuss questions, especially what we refer to here as burning questions.
Burning questions are things about our faith that we're really curious about. Questions we've always wanted to ask, but we're maybe scared to ask. Questions that may even be causing us sleepless nights.
So Jude, do you have a burning question that's kept you up at night and that's been giving you insomnia?
How'd you guess, Father Jay?
In that case, let's get right on to our discussion.
Welcome to Sundays for Seekers, for the curious and the thoughtful who want to learn more about the faith. If you too have questions, you found the right place. Join us as we ask our burning questions about God, about life, about the world. And if we're lucky, who knows? Maybe we'll figure out some kind of answer.
Every Sunday, Pins of Light comes up with a one-minute homily, something to provoke you into prayer and reflection. Get your weekly Sunday gospel fix. Follow the Pins of Light Facebook page at facebook.com/pinsoflight. Also available in Filipino at facebook.com/pinoylights.
This podcast is brought to you by Smart. Live smarter for a better world. And Unilab. Alagang tunay, alagang Pilipino, Unilab yan. Father Jay, you know what? I've been really wanting to ask you about the crucifixes you have behind you because I've been seeing that every time you're on camera, but I've never really had the chance to ask you, why do you have all of those behind you?
Yeah, you know, those crucifixes are actually gifts from friends. So when I noticed that they've been giving me, you know, crucifixes, I figured, why not just display all of them in some kind of gallery? Because every time I see a crucifix, I remember the friend, I get to pray for that friend. And also, usually there are backstories to the crucifixes. And sometimes when I visit a place and I see an interesting crucifix, I get that for myself as well to put in this gallery. I actually call this room my room of exorcism because there are so many crucifixes.
Interesting. But, you know, with the many different crucifixes you have, would you have a particular one, maybe a favorite that we could hear from you about the story that it may bear?
Well, I have lots of favorites. One interesting one that I can share with you now is this cross from the Javierada. As you can see, you know, the cross says Javierada in the year 2006. I got this cross in Spain, in Navarre, no, where St. Francis Xavier was born. Every year during the Novena of Grace, which is around March, thousands of young people get together and they do a pilgrimage from somewhere far away and they march all the way to the castle of Javier and they're singing songs, they're praying. It's very much like the World Youth Day. And I was there during one Javierada. It's really unforgettable because so many young people, so friendly, and they're singing, they're so happy, and they're praying together. So I figured I'm going to get a memento from this. So I got this Javierada cross. So that's one example of a cross that reminds you of an experience in the past.
How I wish I could also be part of a Javierada in the future, which just... I saw the date 2006 and I remembered I was still a grade school student when you were the director.
Thanks for reminding me.
But, you know, it's interesting, Father, how each crucifix that you have actually portrays a specific maybe person or image of God you have in your life. And we've been in this pandemic for more than a year now with people trying to find God in different places, trying to find Him in joy, in suffering, in community pantries, more recently in COVID-19 patients. And I think a good burning question to discuss today is, what should be our image of God?
That's a great question, Jude, because that's actually the most fundamental question. No? A lot of our questions about our faith really depend on our image of God. So I think that would be something that's worth talking about today. No? And when you talk about image of God, every image of God is really a metaphor. It doesn't capture the entirety of the mystery because, as we said previously, God is a mystery, right? And if something is a mystery, you can only understand a little bit of it, but not completely. So the most we can do when we talk about God is use metaphors or images of God.
That will actually make it easier to understand, right? Just like, much like how you use your crucifixes as stories, metaphors would make it easier for us to try to put into perspective that specific image of God.
Yeah, and it's important to bear in mind that metaphors will tell us something about the mystery of God, no? But as they say, all metaphors limp. Every metaphor is limited. So every image of God also falls short of the real reality of God, which is very transcendent, right? I mean, God's great. So nothing we say or imagine can really approximate what he is. So as long as we remember that, I think it's helpful to talk about images of God.
So at least we try to understand using a specific metaphor, but at the end, it's important to remember that, well, there's no one sure metaphor that will really encapsulate that perfect image of God as we speak. So speaking of that, can you share some metaphors with us?
Yeah, so one example of an image of God that was really quite fashionable in the 19th century, and up to today, a lot of people also have this image, although usually unconsciously, is what they call the watchmaker image of God. No? A watchmaker, right? So the best watchmakers are Swiss, right? And they're really experts in the intricacies of, creating a watch. No? But what's really unique about watchmaking is that after you've perfected the watch, after you've completed the product, it can work on its own already. No? You can leave it alone. The guy who's making the watch doesn't have to be involved to make sure that the watch works. No? So in a sense, the watchmaker, after completing making the watch, has nothing to do with the watch anymore. And that's one particular image of God that some people actually harbor, whether consciously or unconsciously. For them, God created the world. The world works on its own with its laws of nature, right? But God is no longer involved. It's like God took the day off on the seventh day, as the book of Genesis said.
I was just about to say.
But that vacation is extended. No? He doesn't have to do anything now because the world can work on its own. Does that make sense to you, Jude?
Yeah, I was just about to say, Father, it reminds me of the story of creation, but an extended version wherein God actually stays in that state of rest and just says, okay, I'm done. I've created everything that needs to be created, enough.
Yeah, so actually it's understandable to have that image of God because when you look at it, when you look around the world, right? I mean, there are laws of nature and people make their decisions. So it's really quite understandable when people reach the conclusion that we don't really need God. God doesn't really need to be involved because God, already created a world that can run on its own, right? The problem with this, however, is that our faith tells us that God cares about what's going on. He continues to care about the world and about our lives long after creation, that he's involved, that he continues to be involved in the world. No? So that's one limitation of the watchmaker God. It captures the fact that the world can run on its own, that God doesn't have to make, to be involved in all the intricacies all the time. Like God doesn't have to say, I want your heart to be beating all the time. The heart can beat already on its own, right? But the limitation of that image is that God is not, involved. And that's not exactly what our faith teaches us, right? If God loves us, if he's in a relationship with us, he has to be involved in some way. So that's where the image of the watchmaker God falls short.
So a watchmaker God is somebody who created you, but is now out of you. So you're on your own, basically.
Right. And some people feel that way during this pandemic, right? Because, the virus is going haywire, this pandemic, so it's almost as if God is, just allowing all these things to happen and leaving the world alone. But as I said, that's not quite what our faith is teaching. No? But it's interesting. The other extreme of this, the opposite extreme of this, is God as a scientist. No? a scientist in a laboratory. You know? For example, I'm sure you also went through some science experiments in grade school or high school. Can you think of any example from your grade school or high school?
Well, I could remember, especially even now as I walk around the campus, well, when we were still able to, I'd see these cups by the window of the grade school classrooms, because when we were younger, and even now, I guess, we were asked to grow mango seeds. So mango seeds in cups wherein you control for one particular variable. So usually it's water. So they're all by the window, but you have three. One is your control. The other one, you pour water daily. The other one, you pour this much water or less water. And then you try to see which one will grow or which one will not grow.
Right. That's an excellent example, because we also did that in my grade school days, way back, many decades ago. So that seems to be a classic science experiment in the grade school, no? But as shown in your example, what happens in a laboratory or in an experiment, so the scientist really takes full control over everything, no? So in the case of the mango seeds, one cup gets watered every day, and the other ones don't get watered every day, and you get the results, right? So what the scientist does is that the scientist makes sure the extraneous variables don't get in the way, you know? And that kind of setup is called a closed system. So the scientist closes the system so that the scientist has full control over all the factors that will affect the growth of the mango seed, right? So some people have that image of God. Like, God is like a scientist. The whole world's a closed system. So that everything that happens in the world is because God wanted it to happen. No. Now, right?
Yeah, this is the, I tried to think about it. These are the God's plan type of people. Like, yeah, it's God's plan. Yeah, he wanted this to happen. Something like that, Father?
Right, right. And people usually say, oh, that's God's will or that's God's plan for me. It has some truth to it because, as we said, our faith teaches us that God has a plan. God's involved in our life, but he doesn't have a script or a blueprint. Like, he doesn't insist that something will happen, diba? So with regard to this particular image of God as a scientist, I think the limitation here is that it doesn't seem to be true, because we have freedom, right? I mean, we can do whatever we want, unfortunately.
System.
Yeah. Like, for example, if I decide right now to just, I don't know, like throw my books around just because I feel like it, am I going to say that that's God's will, that God made me do that? It doesn't seem to make sense, right? So just because something happens doesn't mean God wanted it to happen, no? Which is what is suggested by a scientist's image of God. But that doesn't seem to be true. At the same time, we have laws of nature, right? The laws of nature lead to certain events. For example, a volcano erupts, lots of property get destroyed, lots of lives, lots of people perish. The same thing with the pandemic. A virus goes wild, no? And it spreads. And because the virus is powerful, it infects people and people get sick and die. And B, because people don't take precautions, they don't use their freedom responsibly, they abuse their freedom, so people get sick, they harm other people, or they harm themselves. So I think the limitation of the metaphor of God as a scientist in the laboratory is that it doesn't seem to be true, unless you want to insist that God is making sure that all these bad things are part of his plan. In other words, when things go wrong, that's God's will, or when people do wrong things, that's also God's will. But the problem with that is, what does it say about your image of God? That God is not all good. Because if God wants bad things to happen, then he's not all good, right? So we have a problem there. So that's the other extreme of the image of God, the scientist in the world. No? When you think about the world, I think what we can call the world is more like an open system where things just interact with one another. Like, for example, the mango seed you're talking about, if it's not in the cup in the classroom, if it's not in the laboratory, what happens to the mango seed?
We don't know. Maybe somebody just steps on it and then it dies.
Right. Or more optimistically, maybe maybe there's rain and the rain waters the mango seeds and it grows, right? But
that's true.
But But you see, you can't control those variables. So it's possible for the rain to water the seed. It's also possible for someone like you to step on it, right? But that won't happen in the laboratory because the scientists will prevent you from stepping on it, right?
Yes.
But in the real world, it's an open system. All these causes will interact with one another and they will together determine the events. So it seems that if you think about it, the kind of world that God created is an open system because he allows people to interact with one another and also nature to interact with people to come up with events, which means that not everything that happens in the world should be blamed on God, and especially not the bad things, right? So those are the two extremes. The one extreme is God is not involved at all, the watchmaker God. The other extreme is God is a scientist, he's completely involved and completely in control, which doesn't seem to be our experience also. Although I think most people prefer the second one because we feel more secure, we feel more safe, right? But we're not being fair to God because we're blaming him for all the bad things.
I see it as a scapegoat sometimes, Father. Especially when actually, be it good or bad things happening, the default usually, and I'm guilty of this also, is, well, God wanted this to happen. And as you mentioned, it's really unfair. It's just that it's the easier way out because the open system, as you were saying, is really more complex because a lot of other things are in play, different people, personalities, and the laws of nature really just come together and who knows what will come out of it.
Yeah, so, you know, like God being a scientist who has full control of everything, that's really unfair to God because that doesn't seem to be the case. But more importantly, I think it's really against our faith, no? Because we shouldn't blame God for the things that go wrong. If God is all holy, if he's all good and all loving, it doesn't make sense for him to want bad things to happen, right? And yet bad things are happening. So I think the open system is a good explanation for that.
And I think a big factor there, Father, one thing that has to be mentioned is that, as you mentioned a while ago, the free will and the human freedom that we carry is something that God does not control. It's something right. that we really bring into this earth and into whatever we do. And it, in a way, messes up what the good that God wanted or wants of the
Unfortunately, world. Yeah. Well, you know, God could have chosen to create a universe with no freedom. He's all powerful. So he could have done that. But in his wisdom, he decided not to. So that's his. He decided that it's worth it to allow all these things to happen for something, for a good reason, no? Which we don't completely understand, of course. No? So you have those two extremes. So your question is, what should be our image of God? And of course, the answer is somewhere in between, right? And a metaphor that might be helpful, since you brought up mango seeds, no? Is God as a gardener, no? That image of God as a gardener, I think, does more justice to God in terms of what our faith teaches us. Now, what do I mean by God is a like a gardener? A gardener does not try to control everything in the garden. No? He doesn't like get the mango seeds, put them in a cup, and hides them in the classroom like in an experiment. No? He works with the plants in the garden. And in the garden, as you know, everything is there. All the elements are there, right? The sun, the rain, the soil, the worms, the pests, the butterflies, the insects, everything's there, right? So all these causes interact with one another, and whether the plant is going to grow and thrive depends on the interaction of all these things. So in a sense, the gardener is not like the scientist who tries to have full control over everything, no? But the gardener is also not like the watchmaker that just leaves the mango seed alone for people like you to step on, right? The gardener is very much
waiting for the rain.
Right. The gardener is very much involved. He works very hard every day. If he's serious, he works hard every day to cultivate the plants, no? To make sure that the plants get what they need without fully controlling what's going on there. No? I don't know, Jude, do you have a green thumb? Are you good in, do you like gardening?
No, Father, I'm nowhere near that. I did have some experience before when I tried to grow succulents and cacti, but not anymore now.
Okay. Yeah. So much for that experience. So you're not really into gardening. Unfortunately, neither am I. No, but the point is the gardener is a good metaphor because really he is he is not in full control, but at the same time, he's very much involved. He's very much involved. No? So he doesn't kill all the insects in the garden, but he tries to make sure that the plants are taken care of. So when you think about it, it's like that, right? I mean, God is similar to that in the world. He does not fully control things in the sense that he eliminates people doing wrong or things going bad. But when things go bad or when people do wrong, he's still there. He's still trying to cultivate. Like, for example, this pandemic, things have gone wrong. It's been over a year. People have died. People are sick. People are scared. But if we think of God as a gardener, he's not like, you know, keeping his distance from us like a watchmaker. He's not completely to be blamed for everything, but he's involved. He's helping us out. All we need to do is access the help that God is offering us. So I think, you know, a helpful image of God, especially during this pandemic, is really the image of God as a gardener. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, it makes sense, Father. It really makes sense seeing God as a gardener who has his best intention, but really does not control everything in that garden. And for a millennial, I would like to say that he's a plantito, right? He's a, okay. He's a plantito who tries to cultivate plants and allows for flowers to bloom, even if there's an overcast, even if there's too much rain. He just really stays there and tries to make do with what happens in the world. But again, it's just really easier to, I guess, easier to lean towards an image of God as a watchmaker or a scientist rather than trying to find him as a gardener.
Yeah, it's the either or is always easier, the black or white, right? So yeah, the one extreme or the other. But for me, I don't know about you, but for me, it's quite consoling to have the image of God as gardener. The reason is he's not keeping his distance like a watchmaker. And secondly, he's not to blame. He's not responsible. He doesn't want this thing to happen, this pandemic. He doesn't like it when people are dying or suffering. But despite all these problems, he is with us, very close to us, and he's helping us every single moment. So I find that very consoling. And I think the metaphor of God as a gardener is much more realistic and much more accurate as far as our faith is concerned. So that's a good thing to think about, I think, no? In terms of our image of God. One way of putting it, another way of putting the burning question is, what is your theology? No? Theology really means, what's your image of God? No? So is it more like the watchmaker? Is it more like the scientist? Or is it more like the gardener? So that's something to think about.
And it's something, I guess, especially now in this pandemic, to really reflect on and try to see where you're leaning towards and how you can get yourself to be in the middle of both those extremes.
Every Sunday, Bins of Light comes up with a one-minute homily, something to provoke you into prayer and reflection. Get your weekly Sunday gospel fix. Follow the Bins of Light Facebook page at facebook.com/Bins of Light. Also available in Filipino at facebook.com/Pinoy Lights.
So every episode, aside from the burning question, we also have a takeaway question for our viewers and listeners. So what will it be for this episode, Father Jay?
Okay, friends, here's a question for you to think about. What about you? What tends to be your pandemic image of God? Especially given all your experiences now, how do you see God in your life? Is he more like a watchmaker God, a scientist God, or more like the gardener God? I think that's something that's going to be great for discussion.
So what tends to be your pandemic image of God, especially now in the midst of everything that's happening? Thank you for that very thought-provoking question, Father. It will really take some time to think about, but I'm sure it's something that will lead us to a better understanding of our faith moving forward. Now, to end our episode, Father, we will also be answering one question from our audience. And for today, it's from Miss Joy Mijares, as she asks, if God is all good and holy, why then does he allow evil?
Joy, thanks for your question. That's actually an ancient question that people have been trying to answer all these centuries, no? And nobody has ever come up with a definitive answer. That's why this question continues to linger. No? And obviously, we don't have the final answer to that also. But I think today in our discussion of the open system, that can sort of help us make sense a little bit of how we can answer this question. No? So first of all, in your question, you said God is all good and holy. And that's absolutely true. That's one of the non-negotiable articles of our faith. No? That we love God, we believe in God because he's all good and all holy. He's also all powerful. And yet, it's obvious also that in the world, there's evil. Things go wrong and people do wrong things. So this is a very legitimate question. But maybe one way of making sense of this is, as we said during our discussion, God has chosen to create an open system instead of a closed system. This means that unlike a scientist, he decided not to fully control everything, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, how the volcanoes are going to interact with the trees and so on and so forth. He decided not to be a dictator in a way. You know, he didn't want to write the entire script or blueprint of what's going to happen in the world. He decided to keep it open. You know? But one unintended consequence of creating an open system is that things can go wrong and people can do wrong. You know? Now, why did he do this? We don't really know. You know? But if God loves us, he must have a very good reason. And I'm hoping that in our future episodes, we'll be able to discuss that a little bit more. But maybe the open system is something that you can think about as you're grappling with this really important question about our faith. So thanks, Joy.
Thank you too, Father. That wraps up our second episode of Sundays for Seekers. We hope you, our viewers and listeners, will continue to send us your burning questions. If you want to subscribe to Sundays for Seekers, you can find us in all the usual places where you find podcasts. Or be a Sunday Seeker by joining our Facebook group, Sundays for Seekers, at facebook.com/Sundays4S. That's number 4S. Tell your friends on social media about us by using the hashtag Sundays4S.
Hey Jude, once again, it's been great chatting with you today, so thanks a lot.
Thank you too, Father, for sharing with us the different images of God and challenging us to find God as a gardener, or in our words, as a plantito, who really cultivates the good in our world. We hope to see you at our next podcast.
And meanwhile, as we say here on Sundays for Seekers, keep on seeking.
The Sundays for Seekers logo was designed by Jem Jemson Tan. Our theme was composed by Marvin Ong. And this episode was produced with Glenn Lopez of Upstream Media PH. Sundays for Seekers has been brought to you by SMART, Live Smarter for a Better World, and Unilab, Alagang Tunay, Alagang Pilipino, Unilab Yan!